بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are still reading the hadith of the person who killed 99 people and then he killed another one and made it 100, but he was sincere in his tawbah, and how Allah Ta'ala had accepted his tawbah. With regard to that, further there are certain explanations that are given. One was the killer's sincere desire to purify himself of sin led him to a monk who wrongly advised that the doors of mercy were closed to him. The monk in the Christian people is a person who devotes himself to the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, and that he cuts himself completely off of dunya. But such a person is not a alim. Even in the Christian religion, he is a great, like a Sufi, and he has great, he controls his nafs, he does not do anything wrong, but he hasn't got that knowledge. So when this person went to him, and because of his condition, that is, he did not have the marifat, the recognition of Allah, and the great mercy and kindness of Allah, he told that person, when you have killed 99 people, there is no forgiveness for you, which was wrong. That Allah Ta'ala forgives whatever sins a person makes, and he asks repentance, Allah forgives him. On the contrary, the alim's knowledge guided the man to truth. That alim who was an alim, a Rabbani, who had knowledge of the outside of Shariat also, and the inside of Shariat also, and he had knowledge of Allah Ta'ala, therefore he's called Rabbani, one who knows his Rabb. And he knew that Allah is such a being that he forgives any and every sin when a person makes sincere and correct tawbah. So when he went to him, he told him that you have killed 100 people, but Allah still will forgive you if you make sincere tawbah. This establishes the virtue of knowledge over worship. We some many times underestimate it, but the knowledge of deen is the greatest thing, much more higher than a person who devotes himself to the worship, to the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. A person who acquires knowledge of deen, even for a little while, even a little bit, is more superior than the person who devotes himself to Allah Ta'ala's ibadat. As a true alim's knowledge leads him to inspire others by means of his wisdom. An alim who has got proper knowledge, he guides other people also. He himself also is guided, he guides other people as well. The initial setback did not discourage the repentant man from his search for truth and reformation. This is another thing, that when a person really wants to make tawbah, then even if there are some setbacks, it must not keep him back. He must still endeavor and go forward and make his tawbah complete and perfectly. From this we learn that the path of repentance is not always easy, since it requires courage. That is, this person traveled, and when he found this monk, he made great efforts to find him. But when that was not successful, and now he committed yet another one guna also, killing that monk also. Then, and we can understand from this that what his nature must have been, that for no reason he killed that monk also. And then further, that he was still sincere, and he searched and asked about a person that can guide him, and then he went in search of this alim and found him who guided him towards righteousness. We also learn that those souls that have the innate capacity of goodness will return to steadfastness even if they are temporarily diverted from the path of guidance. From this also, no matter what condition we see a person, there are those people for whom Allah has written hidayat and they're going to die on iman. In between, they might become terrible also. And unfortunately, we become very judgmental and we write off some such people. But Allah guides them, and before maut, they come back on the right path, they make tawbah, and they go to Jannat, and they go in the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So we must never ever be judgmental, and we should be afraid of ourselves. We don't know what our end condition is. And everything depends on that, how our maut comes to us. And nobody has got that knowledge whatsoever, that how my maut is going to come to me. And that other person, though outwardly it might appear that he's gone very far off the path, but we don't know how his maut will come. And there are so many instances where last minute non-Muslims reverted and accepted Islam. May Allah protect all of us, our Iman. Another important lesson we draw from the hadith is that a person should abstain from befriending sinners and evil-minded individuals. That is also very, as this person was told not to return to his hometown, which was Kafara, where people were all generally disobedient of Allah Ta'ala. So we should not stay in such an environment, in such company, and we should be very careful in the choice of our company. For our youngsters and our children also, our women folk also, who are they befriending? Who are their friends? That also we should be very careful, because this company has got a great effect on a person. And this effect harms a person very greatly. As it has come, it is narrated that if a person keeps the company of a blacksmith, a person who works with iron, heat his furnace, heating it, burning that fire, melting the iron and heating it and making it into different shapes, that if that fire does not reach him, but the smoke is going to reach him, the sparks of it will reach him. And on the other hand, if a person keeps the company of a person who sells itar, perfume, then even if he doesn't give him some atar, but the sweet smell of atar will reach him. So company is very important, that we see what company we keep, who we associate with. And today, with the cell phone, we all know that a person in the privacy of his home can be keeping the company of different people. So it's very important to see that what company we keep. So much so, our ulama have said that even in our dini matters, if we keep company of the wrong people, that will also have an effect on us. And even in our dunya matters, if we keep the company of the right people, that will also benefit us. May Allah guide us towards keeping right company also. Subhanallah.